Welcome to the Gigi and Saji podcast. Wisdom, world explorer, and shenanigans, we have it all. Gigi and Saji is a podcast where we talk with all kinds of people all around the world, expert or not so much expert, but we discuss anything that is life relevant to us, about books, TV shows, and anything creative that we want to talk about. I hope you enjoy this podcast and welcome to the show.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Gigi and Saji podcast. Another Marvel Magic episode. Oh! Hannah couldn't be with us today, but it's me and Craig, and we've got some steamy things to talk about and apologize for.
All right. Let's be easy for that.
But we're getting to that later. Today, we're going to talk about Marvel and DC TV shows, because last time we talked about the movies, and now we're going to talk about the TV show aspect, which is super exciting, and I'm super... Yeah, I can't wait for certain things that are going to happen on this episode today. So let's get cracking. Hey, how's it going, Craig?
It's going good. Sadly, we will be missing Hannah's judgment this session. She'll be judging from afar, I'm sure. Like, I'll be saying something. I'm probably right now what I'm saying. You can hear her, like, spider sense is going off. And she knows. she feels some strange, like, atmosphere. I don't know. But it's good.
Yeah, I can see her, like, zipping tea and going, like, they are filming the episode. I can feel it.
She can feel it when something bad is happening. Yeah, 100%. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about, as I said, Marvel and DC TV shows. So last time we took a turn on all the movies and a comparison on the movies. But this time we're going to talk about all the things, what the differences are basically and what we think on that. So we're just jumping right into the topic of Marvel TV shows. What's your thought on that?
Marvel TV is really it's a very strange one. Like, I feel really old saying, like, I don't want to make myself sound old this, but like these kids today don't know what it was like back when Marvel TV first started. You know, like, you're lucky that you get like Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision. You know, the stuff we had when it was first kicking off was like much like lower budget and like primetime TV stuff. It was still great when it first started, but man, like, they were so like you'd be lucky if you got to see like powers being used and stuff like that, because it's just they existed in a weird bubble. I don't know what it was. It's like they wanted to start these TV shows, but like there was a lot of like they feared making it a part of the MCU. It's like having this weird off-brand stuff. Like, that's, they're like, hey, this is kind of in the MCU, but then like, no, it's not. So yeah, Marvel TV when it first started was it was very weird, but you know, we've had some great stuff since, and it's kind of been nice to watch it grow in a way. Like, I feel like I was there when it sort of first started with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you know, it's sort of watching that grow has been amazing. You know, we've had the Netflix stuff, which then was like its own level of sort of entertainment, and then now with the sort of Disney Plus stuff, it seriously blows out of the water. You know what we've had, and I think Marvel's done a great job at growing, I guess, for all of this. Like, I mean, it's one of the biggest things they've been good at is being able to kind of show you that, like, even if they have a rough start, they'll still make something good out of it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What you just said, like, literally, because I think my first Marvel TV show before even the Netflix stuff hit was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And because that was a big thing. I'm not good with timelines, so. But that was a big thing. And then Agent Carter was the next bigger thing. And then the whole Netflix stuff kicked off. And I think that's, like, I still haven't seen Agent Carter, but it's on my list. It's on my priority list. I can already hear Hannah going, like, and I need to get back into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again, but thanks to Disney Plus, that's going to happen. What I recently discovered was also that are some X-Men TV shows, which I have not seen before. And I actually I kind of found them because I was watching YouTube videos, and you know these fan-made videos that people do. Yeah. And I found this video saying the Maximoff sisters, and I was like, wait, what? How? And why? And what? And there's a TV show called The Gifted.
Yeah.
And it's it's about mutants, so like anything X-Men. And I looked into it, and I was like, how was I not able to, like, how did this, like, pass me? Because anything X-Men is really my kind of Marvel, because X-Men was always, or is always, a bit darker. I will come to that when we talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier. how Marvel can also be quite dark. And if we look at the TV shows, Daredevil and Punisher are definitely on the darker spectrum, so is Jessica Jones. And that's what I loved, because I still stand by my statement when it comes to Marvel being more family friendly, because that's essentially what some of the movies are pretty are. Like, they are good family fun watch together. And now Marvel is going in a different direction with certain TV shows, which I think is incredible. Like, because sometimes I was always missing that, like, you know, that bit of extra, that bit of tragedy, that bit of, like, make me feel something when I watch these movies. Obviously, I have a lot of emotions, but, like, if I have to choose between comedy aspect and more seriousness, then I would always choose the seriousness. Because essentially, sometimes you need that for a character arc to be, like, very deep. So, yeah, I do enjoy... I don't think I have seen the second season with Punisher. I think I've... Is there a second season?
It's kind of weird. I've done the same, like, with the Netflix stuff. I've seen, like, the starts of them, but never finished them, like with their last few seasons. I've seen, like... I think I've seen, like, the first season of each one, and then, like, the Defenders and that, but I never sort of bothered to carry them on. I feel like once we knew they were kind of dead, it was like, oh, like...
You definitely need to catch up with Daredevil, because Daredevil keeps being great. Like, that was one of my favorites, but I think it's also because I think Daredevil is such an interesting character, because he breaks the boundary of... I mean, they kind of all do with this, like, kind of, like, anti-hero kind of trope. I would say, like, maybe the only one that kind of, like, is a bit more of a hero is Iron Fist in that sense. But, like, they all kind of, like, break that spectrum, and I like that. And I've seen both seasons of Jessica Jones, even though I have to say the first one is definitely better, in my opinion.
Yeah, and incredible.
Yeah, everything else is just also really, like, if you like that darker vibe and touch to it, definitely watch it. Like, it's great. All of the... I also like that they kind of, like, broke more the spectrum of... the rogue characters, in a sense, or like the way let me try to find my sentence.
His brain is processing.
Yeah, I guess it's just nice to have these characters also portrayed by... it's nice to see the cast, because, like,
yeah,
you know, especially with the big MCU ones, you always have these, like, very famous actors and stuff. And then to have kind of, like, more different actors, smaller actors in that spectrum as well. I really like that. Like, seeing that. And, yeah, so at the moment I'm watching The Gifted, and I like it, because I'm just, like...
Excellent bias.
How did this, like, pass me? Also, I love what's her name? Polaris. She's amazing. Oh my goodness, I love her. Like, also, she it's really weird, but she looks like a character that I created. It's really weird, because she could have been exactly typecasted for the character.
Well, we'll keep her in mind.
Yeah, goes on that list.
It goes on the list of the
Yeah. So yeah, I just, what you just said is also, like, obviously, it's been a journey for the Marvel TV shows, and we come to things like Falcon and Winter Soldier now, and, like, even with WandaVision, which is so phenomenal on the aspect of the way they did that TV show. Ah, man.
I think it's kind of great. Like, it's kind of quite nice now, especially with Disney Plus, I guess, as well. We've got this kind of nice, like, I think you've got these perfect little, like, shows that, like, yeah, you should definitely, people who, if you haven't seen them, it's worth visiting them now still, because they are still their own little thing. Like, you've got kind of the more cheesier stuff with like Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, they're a lot more MCU-ish because they're a bit more like, they're just, yeah, they're, I guess cheesy and campy is the way I see them, because like, the especially like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. later on gets really silly and kind of very like over the top. And Agent Carter is great for watching, like, I mean, it's got Howard Stark's Dominic Cooper's playing him, and like Peggy's always great to see, and it's a lot very like 40s 50s like cheesiness era of them kicking at, you know, strong female kicking ass in that era. And then you get the like more grittier stuff, like if you want a bit more punch that's definitely not MCU, you get these Netflix ones, which I mean, like, so yeah, they're all hits because they were different. We needed like that grittiness, you know, there's the Daredevil scenes, yeah, everyone remembers the corridor scene, and like, I mean, Wilson Fisk and things like that, like, you know, these are all so worth seeing when they were done in Netflix. And then now we've kind of got the more MCU ones again, but like actually like these MCU ones, you know, ones that are literally people we've seen in movies for a change. And I think it's quite nice to have that come together. And it's definitely, yeah, I mean, any, like, I'll have to check out some of the other ones as well, like Gifted and that, because I haven't really seen them, but I still think it's nice to have those as well, because they're kind of almost not spin-offs, but I guess it's nice having those other characters that, you know, maybe we'll eventually see Polaris in the MCU and things like this. But I remember the other thing I was going to say is that I feel like the casting as well is such an interesting one, because even though these shows aren't maybe as connected as we want to be, like, we know, like you were saying with the casting, like the ones they chose just fit the bill. And I feel like you can never recast those stuff, like you could never, yeah, we couldn't, I don't think you could have another Daredevil, you could have another Jessica, like I think people still want those people. And maybe, you know, there's that rumor that Charlie Cox might be in Spider-Man 3, and I really hope so, because yeah, all of that cast in the Netflix stuff and in the other shows is, it's just too good, you know, like we had Vincent as Wilson Fisk, you can never beat, and Punisher, John Bernthal, you know, all these people were just, oh, they were just, they were so good. And I'll be sad if they ever recast them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's also Cloak and Dagger, I believe, Amazon. Yeah. Is it Amazon? Yeah. And yeah, it's, and I think there's also a TV show called Legion, if I'm correct, which is also another X-Men one. Yeah. And then also we got the, but that's a movie, right? The New Mutants movie that came out?
Yeah. You got the Runaways is the other X-Men one, I think, as well.
Oh, yeah, that was the, well, like, there's so much more going on, and, like, sometimes you don't even realize it, and I think especially because Disney Plus is crushing it now, so sometimes people forget even about the Netflix stuff that has come out, but it's definitely worth a watch. And, yeah, especially what Craig just said with the darker and grittier stuff, because, like, and that's where we dive into now, all the Netflix TV shows really remind me of the verse that DC created with their TV shows, because it's the same kind of like drive where things intertwine and stuff. So yeah, let's talk about DC TV shows. What's your thoughts on that?
So DC TVs, again, it's very similar in the sense that, like, I know things like, I've never seen it, but I know there's, like, you had Smallville back in the day was like their starting, I think, and that was very, what sort of birth? It's so funny to look at Smallville now, because, like, if especially with the Arrowverse, if you look at the Arrowverse and then look at like Smallville's Arrowverse, it's so funny, like the comparisons between what they were doing. But I mean, it all had to start somewhere, and obviously we've got Gotham as well, which I think Gotham's kind of similar to the X-Men stuff we've been talking about, like this kind of taking something and making it your own. Like Gotham is kind of its, Gotham's like its own little bubble, you know, it's taken the stuff that we've all know and love with Batman and can kind of expanded on it and made it this amazing sort of universe that, again, like, it's definitely worth watching if you sort of want to see a different take on kind of, you know, yeah, like Batman universe. Yeah, it's nice to getting it from a point of view, I think, of other than Batman, you know, we get to see the rise of sort of all the villains, and, you know, it's silly at times and maybe feels a bit over the top, but it's still very dark and gritty, and it's definitely worth checking out. And then obviously, yeah, you got the Arrowverse, which, I mean, we could spend hours, I think, breaking that bad boy down. I mean, like, if you'd spoke to me a few years ago, like, I would have, like, I was in, I was in, that was my jam. I was, you know, I was so into it. And I mean, yeah, the Arrowverse itself, it's mind-boggling to me when you see that they keep struggling with these films and they don't know what to do, yet the Arrowverse is like right there and like so good. It's everything DC should be doing right now, and it's again another one that I think is really worth checking out, because you start the Arrowverse and it starts with Arrow, which obviously would make sense, but it's you get to watch it grow. You know, you watch that first season of Arrow and you're like, man, this is different, this is gritty, like, you know, I wonder how this go, and then it kind of births its own universe from within. You know, you get the appearance of Barry Allen, and then you're like, oh my god, that's the Flash, and then you'll see him become the Flash, and you're like, oh my god, now he's the Flash, and then he gets his own show, and then those two meet up and they'll team up, and it's so crazy to think, like, when you're watching the first season and the later seasons, the you know, we now have everything, you know, we have Arrow, we have the Flash, we have Supergirl, but then not only that, we have the Legends, who are their all like own team of characters, and you know, every side character is done justice, and they, you know, they keep bringing them back, they keep using them, they don't just leave them alone. And I think, yeah, DC has everything right in that terms of how it's done TV. It did something that almost, you know, it even beat the MCU to having kind of, I know recently you had the two Flashes meet, and that's such a huge, small thing in reality, but that was such a huge, like, oh my god, they acknowledged that, you know, it's a multiverse, and it's they really have done a good job over there. And yeah, like I say, it's I would gladly watch the Arrowverse over and over, because there's just so much to love about it.
Absolutely. I'm the same on that boat. There has been a time where I was so deeply intertwined with everything, because it kind of triggers me when people are like, oh, I'm just going to watch The Flash. And it's just like,
oh, yeah,
you don't get the masterpiece that DC did there. Please watch it in the correct order. Thank you. It kind of gets confusing, but, you know, the lists are out there on how to win, which season to watch when, to not, like, to even understand the concept of what they created. Because it started with Arrow, then we got Flash, then we got Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl. Is it Superman now as well? Is it?
Yes, we do have a Superman one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, Batman, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So, like, they extended that brilliantly.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Like, I'm still so, because I was at the special event back in, I believe it was between season 3 and 4. They made the special event somewhere outside of London, where you were able to, like, see the finales of The Flash and Arrow before everyone else. So I went there. It was basically like a massive nerd party. They gave us free pizza and great snacks, and like everyone was watching it. But that was mind blown. Like,
holy,
I was
amazing.
That was just phenomenal and just so great how they did that. And like, it was incredible to have that experience and to be part of that, you know. And what I love, for example, about Legends is that they really took, for example, White Canary and like women roles in the DC TV shows as well. Like, we've got Black Canary, White Canary, Killer Frost, even Iris in The Flash. Like, there are so many great women in these TV shows. Felicity and what's her name, the sister of Ollie,
Thea,
yeah. And like, there are so many great women characters in there that also get a really strong backstory and presence. And it's so, like, I think especially Green Arrow's story is, there's so much good stuff in there. There's so much. I mean, obviously I can't speak for the later seasons, but up until, like, I think I watched until like someone 4 or 5, season 4
yeah,
or 5 somewhere.
I must have stopped around there.
It's been incredible. It's been amazing. And like what you just said also, because I recently discovered the TV show called Pennyworth, and it's the backstory of Alfred. And it's been like, it was when I started watching that, how I missed DC TV shows and how I forgot how great these TV shows are, because I was super invested in Gotham. Like, I was literally into that TV show before it even came out. Like, I was the first person that was, this is the first promos, you need to watch this because this TV show is going to be so great and I need people to talk about this with me so I don't suffer alone. And it's been incredible. The cast has been phenomenal on there. Like, we've got so many great actors in that TV show. And we've talked about this, and in this special episode, I talked about this with Tyler in a Gotham episode, why this TV show is so great. And one of the best things about this TV show is also because it's got solid 5 seasons, you know? Mm-hmm. They made everything right with just 5 seasons, and to make it their own thing, because, like, often people are like, yeah, but it's not like in the comics, and it's not like that, and they're like, oh, shut up, we're getting more content. Like, it's great to have that, you know, because I don't always want to see, like, this is page 18 and this is the exact scene. No, I want to see new things. And I thought what was so genius about Gotham as well was we got a young Bruce. We didn't got the, you know, the Batman, the one that we've seen in so many movies before. We got all the origins. We got all the origin stories. And I think that's so great that they did that. And when I started watching Pennyworth, I've only seen 2 episodes so far, and I was blown, because I was like, I completely forgot how brutal DC can be and how, but at the same time, like, how you get in there. Because, like, at first I was like, I'm not even sure if I'm going to enjoy this or watch this. I don't know. But it's almost like you're watching a crime gangster TV show again, which goes into the direction of Peaky Blinders. And I was like, this is so great. Like, I mean, obviously, it's also about Alfred in that sense, but it's just a very nice, like, the intertwining of the storyline, and how you almost feel like you're watching another, they put the DC content away, it's still a good TV show, you know, like, it's still great to watch this. And then we have, what else do we have? Let me think. So we've got the Arrowverse, Gotham,
Yahweh, Titans, and
Titans. I wanted to say as well. So as much as it's also criticized, listen, I'm a fan, because we're getting hopefully a third season. Definitely. And I'm waiting for Red Hood, you know, like, I've been waiting for this for so long. Like, I literally sit here in the corner with all these side characters that no one cares about. And I'm just like, it's happening, and it's good shit, and it's great. And again, Netflix does this thing of, they take this essence, and it's a really dark TV show. And that's really, I like that. I like that it's more almost independent in that sense, and just, in that gritty area as well again. And also more Titan content, because if you know the old TV show, like the Teen Titans.
That's a whole nother.
It's so iconic. I love it. It's one of my TV shows that I've seen so many. Obviously, I saw it in German, but it's the jokes in German are also a different kind of crack humor. Let me tell you about that. Like, but it's so iconic. It's so good. And I'm glad that we have these TV shows out there, because what you just said, like, if they would do the same work they put in the TV shows also into the movies, it would be much better.
The Titans are, like, I have a perfect example of that. Like, I've never understood how we've never had the Titans in live action. Like, I mean, we're probably, I know we have now, but like, I'm almost lucky we haven't, maybe, because, like, they have such, like, Teen Titans was such a good show. And then, like, Teen Titans are popular enough that, like, people would go to that movie, and yet they've never brought them, like, into live action. And I've never understood that, because, like, yeah, people love the Teen Titans, and, like, and I think, like, Titans is even proving that, like, you know, it's its own thing, and it's doing sort of a bit differently to maybe how, you know, it's a bit grittier than maybe, you know, Teen Titans was, although Teen Titans was still pretty dark at times. But, like, yeah, it's just bizarre that they don't choose to do stuff like that in their movies. And, you know, Teen Titans is incredible. Like, the animated one is still, like, yeah, it's still worth checking out years later, you know. And DC's weird like that. I don't get why they put this, why their movies suffer so much when they've proven they can do it, like, in other mediums. And I don't want to say it's harder in a TV budget, but, like, it definitely feels like it must be, because you're restricted to so much more. You know, you have less of a budget than you would if you were doing a movie. You don't have, like, you know, with, like, the Arrowverse and that, they have prime time to fill, and they can't really, you know, if their ratings drop and things like that, then the shows won't carry on. So it must have been harder to kind of make their shows work, but they did it, you know, they proved to you that they could still make these incredible shows on much limited sort of resources. So why don't the movies do it? You know, why don't, like, you know, I mean, I like, I remember watching, I think it's season 2 of Arrow, and it was the first sort of time I properly was binging something, and it just, I remember, like, some of the stuff that happens in it, my brain just couldn't handle it. I was, you know, like the whole sort of Arrow versus Deathstroke and that whole, and the way they tell the backstory, you sort of, the great thing with Arrow is you got like the stuff on the island, and then the sort of obviously modern day Arrow, so you got a bit of both. And it's just like, this was such good storytelling that I was like, how are people sleeping on this? You know, how, and I feel like that's a lot of DC content. It feels like, how are people sleeping on it and not giving it the love it deserves, you know? And I think maybe Pennyworth's kind of, like, I haven't seen it, but I know from the way you sort of talk about it that it's like, I think there's another one that people will too easily, they're like, oh, Pennyworth? Like, I don't want to watch a show about Alfred. Like, what? How could that be any good? But it's like, but that's it. Like, it is, because they go off the record and they say, here's someone you've known, but we're going to give you a really interesting take on him. And, you know, Gotham's the same for that. It's like, you may think, oh, why would I want to watch a show that's not about Batman? But it's like, yeah, but there's so much more, the stuff they do with it, you know, with all the crime families and each sort of character rising to sort of become the villain they are. It's like, it's such interesting stuff. And I would much rather see that than, yeah, like you said, see, like, you know, oh, here's this comic scene. And it's like, okay, yeah, but if you haven't given me the build up to it, that, or, like, you know, made it worthwhile, which I think was a lot of the issues of maybe the Justice League stuff and all that, is that if we haven't had that build up to it, it still doesn't, yeah, it's great if you're a fan and you're like, oh, yes, I, you know, I love it, but, you know, come on, we need that. There's so much more you could do with it. And I think, yeah, that's why it's weird to me, like, Titans being like that, why they don't sort of give us a really good Titans film, because people would love that. But
and the potential's there, you know. Yeah. Like, there's so much, and this is also, like, just generally, because often they, I mean, we're getting another Batman movie, which I'm going to watch, of course. but the thing is also, like, there's so much more than just Batman or just Iron Man or just, you know, all the big names and stuff. So it's always great to see these kind of, like, independent thrives, or, like, and because the thing is, like, with, it might also be because I'm kind of biased when it comes to, like, British-based TV shows or, like, British actors and stuff, because Pennyworth is, so far, I think, mostly British actor-based. I need to double-check, because I haven't looked too much into the cast. I literally just started watching it. But it's super... Yeah, I just love that. It's almost like, and you're taking me back to an older London kind of ish. I think it's also placed. Is it London? Is it actually playing in the UK? That also makes.
Yeah, it does say. Yeah, 1960s London.
I think it does. Yeah, 1960s. Thank you. I'm certainly watching the TV show, but maybe I'm distracted by certain actors.
like wild. What a wild cast.
So I'm just, I like that, and, like, sometimes DC does that, like with Gotham or with Pennyworth, where it's almost like, yeah, but you might not be into comics and stuff, but it's still a crime TV show, you know. You could still watch it for the crime aspect and the conflicts that are in there, which are super interesting. Also, hello, who doesn't love Alfred? Like, Alfred Pennyworth is literally the corky why we sometimes still have Bruce, because he's either saving up his ass, or he is helping him with the essential life quotes that Batman needs.
Like... I will say, we've also never had, like, a bad Pennyworth casting. No, there has never been, no one has been cast as Alfred who does not fit the Alfred role, and I am sure Pennyworth continues that legacy. Like, you know, Alfred is always top notch. That is why we love Batman. We put him on the pedestal, but we all know Batman would not be half the man he is without Mr. Alfred Pennyworth behind him. And I think all of the adaptations prove that, you know, all of them have that scene that makes you go, yes, this is Alfred kicks ass. Like, I remember the one in Gotham, while we're on the TV, I can't remember what it is, but I just remember he gives him like a watch or something, and he beats up the bullies. And I remember I'm like, yes, Alfred, like, yes, you fucking do. Like, and it's like, the one in Gotham is so great as well, because he's like this, like, I think it's the same as they dabble on that, like, SAS background of him and this idea that he's like, yeah, like, you think he's just a butler, but really he, like, kicks ass. And it's just, yeah. Sorry, that was my tangent for Alfred, but I'm just saying, we've never had a bad Alfred casting, and Batman is nothing without Alfred behind him.
Are you
go watch Pennyworth. It's probably the moral of that story. I'm gonna go watch Pennyworth.
Yeah, please, because we need to
get on the Alfred hype train.
Yeah, I need to chat more into detail about that.
Tag Alfred Pennyworth, everyone, today. I want to see Alfred Pennyworth trending. By I don't think I have that much power yet, but you know.
Oh, don't underestimate.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd love to wake up tomorrow and like but number one trending, Alfred Pennyworth. No one knows where it came from.
I mean, if we make it an American hashtag, we might make it happen.
Does Alfred Pennyworth have a day? I feel like we should have Alfred Pennyworth Day, so we can start that. No, he doesn't have a day, right? When was he born? Look, I'm gonna declare Alfred Pennyworth Day.
Oh my god!
When was he born?
Hannah, come back!
Sorry, I'm just gonna chat. I'll stop. He doesn't. Oh, his first appearance. That's not April. Oh my god, it's in April though.
Wait, what? Was it already?
His first appearance was Batman number 16 in April 1943. What day? That's 2 days away! If we count that, so it was issue 16, and April 16th is in 2 days, so that's now is National Alfred Pennyworth Day. I have declared it.
Oh my goodness, sorry, this is so weird.
Got this tangent, I've lost it. Now, Friday, fellas, to set the clock, set the calendars. Friday is Alfred Pennyworth Day. You heard it here first.
Oh my god, I can't.
Was it one thing? I remember talking about Pennyworth, but
yeah, it's you heard it, guys. Yeah. What can I say?
We're all gonna go watch Pennyworth. We're all gonna watch Pennyworth in 2 days on Alfred Pennyworth Day.
Yeah.
he will be he'll be 1943, 78 years old. 78 years of Alfred Pennyworth, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my Google just said she doesn't understand either.
It's okay, Siri. We all have that sometimes.
All right. Happy 78th birthday to Alfred Pennyworth this Friday.
In 2 days.
2 days, guys.
2 days.
We're going to watch Pennyworth on that day.
Okay. I hold you down to this. This is... Wait, hang on. That's also the day of the book release party.
Ah, see?
Whoa.
Oh.
Okay. Wicked. Right.
Back to it. Where were we?
This is what happens when you leave a Gemini and a Scorpio alone, yeah. And there's no Taurus to ground us.
This is why we have Hannah here. Hannah stops it from happening.
Oh my god. This is amazing. Okay. Right, the only thing I have left to say is, do you have a top three for both universes when it comes to TV shows?
Yeah, I mean, if we're not including Disney Plus in the top three Marvel ones, because that's just really unfair, and I don't want to play that game.
You have to.
No, I don't want to do it.
Yes.
No, that's unfair. I don't want to play this game. Fine, if we're including it, oh my god, probably... if I like WandaVision or Falcon more, that's a good question.
We haven't seen all of Falcon.
Yeah, I haven't seen all of Falcon yet. But I think Falcon probably sits at the top, because I think just Falcon feels much more like I think I look forward to binging Falcon in one go. I wonder what that will feel like, because I feel like that will feel like a really okay? like it'll feel like a really good I want to see what that's like. I feel like that will make it make or break, because like WandaVision's great, because I think in parts we had like the mystery to it, and I feel like going back and rewatching WandaVision won't be as satisfying, because like, it's still good, but it was the fun of WandaVision was like, you know, every week being like, oh my god, like what are we gonna learn? So I think yeah, Falcon sits at the top for current content. And then probably I'd put Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. second, because that was just the five or four seasons I saw were such fun, and again like it was it grows into this really great, silly show, and I must go back and finish it, because like seeing more of Coulson and the gang is great, and I'm so sad they didn't get carried on into Infinity War and all that. It would have been nice, but anyway, that's another shit. Number three would probably be Daredevil. Would if we're gonna, I feel like we're gonna have one Netflix show. It's a tough choice between Daredevil and Luke Cage, because I love them both equally, but I think probably Daredevil was the first, and it has a lot of really good, just like, I mean, like you say, the corridor fight, if you haven't seen it, is worth looking up. Like the stuff with Fisk and all that was amazing, and that whole sort of, yeah, Luke Cage has his own special place, because I really like the sort of underlying themes in Luke Cage, and I mean, it was cool to sort of see that stuff and see this man from Harlem, you know, and he's bulletproof and all this stuff. Like, it's a really good sort of take. I mean, right now, especially with everything going on in the world politically and race wise, like it has a lot of powerful sort of undertones, and I think that's what's kind of, it's the whole thing about Luke Cage is like he is this bulletproof black man, and it's kind of like the statement of that alone is like, you know, he's sort of there for the people, and I think that's why. As much as it's a shame we won't get more of it, but he would always be he's a great sort of one to check out as well. As for DC, if you want me to move on to, or do you want to do your top three Marvel first? Or?
I mean, I can do for my top Marvel three. And so the thing is, we haven't seen the full spectrum of Falcon and Winter Soldier yet, but it's a strong candidate to become my number one, because there's so much in there that I just love. And the form of storytelling, like, it's so, the deeper layer of the symbolism, the politics, everything, it's just, that's my kind of TV show. That's just what I really enjoy, when something like really makes you question and think and stuff like that. As what you said with WandaVision, like, I really enjoyed that show, and I think it's super unique when it comes to the storytelling of the way they portrayed every episode different. Mm. But if I think about it, my really favorite episode was, is it episode 7? No, we had 9 together, right? So eight was episode 8 was the one where I was like, oh, it's not tragic enough, and then
yeah.
And then it got really tragic. So I will always remember that one episode where I was like, oh, that's so good, it's genius, and I still love the Maximum of Trends, as in, like, you know, some of my favorite X-Men and stuff. But I wouldn't say like it's an overall favorite, because discussed about is my lean then goes more to the grittier stuff, which is also Daredevil and Punisher. Because the thing is, like, I love the first season of Jessica Jones, but then it's not really my kind of type anymore. And in the battle between Daredevil, Iron Fist, and Punisher, Daredevil and Punisher kind of like go more towards stuff. But what you said with Luke Cage, I think it's the only thing where I didn't got as much into Luke Cage was, I think it was first Daredevil, then Jessica Jones, and then Luke Cage, I think, in between. And it just, I don't know, because I was so used to the way they introduced Jessica Jones and Daredevil and stuff, that for me it felt like Luke Cage was kind of dropped flat as in how they presented it and everything. And so I didn't got as much into it. But what you just said is so relevant with the whole, like, issues that we have in there as well.
Mm.
I think the thing is also why I love Daredevil and Punisher so much, because it's so damn bloody. Oh my God, like, I remember... Yeah, Daredevil especially, and then also Punisher. I think it's almost like, because Punisher came after Iron Fist, and Iron Fist is almost taking you back to this level of, like, you know, like, cool stuff, martial arts.
Yeah, Iron Fist is a lot more like sillier in terms of, it's like a dragon fist and all this stuff, which, like, you're like, yeah, it's a lot more goofier than, like, man with PTSD murders millions. Yeah. You know,
exactly. So when Punisher came, I was like, hold my beer, like, what's happening here? Like, so I think this is kind of like, where is it going? And because obviously, I think that's it for my Marvel TV top three.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Punisher was another really good one. I must say, like, it's we haven't spoken about it much because, I mean, it'd be like a week ago into hours of talking about Marvel TV. But yeah, Punisher is another really, it's a shame almost that I feel like we'll never probably, it's the odds of seeing Punisher in the MCU are slim because he doesn't, I mean, like I say, their casting of John Bernthal as Punisher was so good. And like, that's why I think Daredevil, I think it's season two he pops up in with that whole thing with Punisher. And like, you have him when he's got Daredevil tied up on the roof, and then you have him in court when they're trying to like defend him. And Punisher is like the literal, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I kill people who are bad. And like, you know, and Punisher did the series of it did a really good job of exploring the kind of darker side of his life and, you know, the PTSD and sort of, you know, I mean, his whole family's murdered and things like that. And it's, yeah, Punisher is a really special one. And I think it's, yeah, it's almost a shame because he does deserve love, like, as a show. But it's just like, yeah, you'll probably, it'd be amazing. I'd love to see them bring Bernthal back in, but yeah, I don't think you could get away with half the stuff they do in that series. So yeah, definitely a little shout out to him just because he will be probably missed. But you know, Frank Castle is always a really good character to look at. He's more than just the kind of bloody killer that you would probably think he is when if you want to check out those sort of sides of the Netflix stuff, which is what they're all about. They're a bit more, they're gritty with the right punch, I think. They never were, like, too extreme. They never went, you know, they weren't bloody for the sake of it. Like, they were giving you the more realistic approach. And I think that's why they're definitely, yeah, it's hard not to have a Netflix one in the list.
Yeah.
Okay, are we top three DC now, I guess? Is that this? Yes. This is another hard one because, again, like, ranking the Arrowverse is like killer. And like then with like Gotham and that on the side, it's just, man, I for me personally, it would probably go Arrow, Flash, and then Supergirl. And I like, and I hate that I have all Arrowverse in there because it kills me, but it's just because they're the ones I think that were the most, like, Arrow's like seasons are so good. There's so much to love in Arrow. I mean, the first season's great with Malcolm Merlyn, then it gets even better with Deathstroke. Yeah, Malcolm Merlyn, that's a tangent I don't want to take, but like John Barrowman as Malcolm, yes, Merlyn is forever, like, oh my god, magnifique casting, that one. Like, I've only ever, like, before Arrow, John Barrowman was always the man in Doctor Who for me, Jack Harkness, and it was so funny when I found out he was in Arrow, because I was like, really? Like, this man? He doesn't, like, seem, but my god, oh, he is so, so good, that, like, and then he just gets better, and, like, it's almost like Malcolm Merlyn is, like, almost like the perfect blend of a darker Jack Harkness, and like that he's both campy and still this like really intimidating villain. But that's a whole nother tangent that I won't take. But yeah, Arrow just gets continually better, and then just it's definitely season two of Arrow was always my favorite with Deathstroke and that whole arc. And yeah, but then the Flash is just, I love the Flash, I love his powers. I think they do a really good job of giving him, sort of, again, for a TV budget, I think they do a really good job of having a really sort of good speedster show. And it is nice that it's like you get, again, so much in The Flash with, like, you get him, you get all the side characters, you get Killer Frost, you get Iris, you get John Wesley Shipp as Jay Garrick, and all this, and the multiverse, yeah, everything they give you in that. And then again, that's why I think Supergirl is my third, is just because I love Melissa as Supergirl. And I think, again, you've got really eight characters in Supergirl with like her and her sister Kara, not her sister Kara, her sister whatever, I can't remember her name, but her sister's great, Martian Manhunter. You know, you get all these other great characters that they're the perfect little trilogy for me. I would gladly watch that stuff. And the Flash musical episode, by the way, that is magnifique. That is, again, that is chef's kiss. That is beautiful. Two Glee stars doing a musical episode. Perfect. It's what you want to see in the Arrowverse. That's if you're going to watch the Arrowverse, watch up until that, and then you stop, then you retire. It doesn't get better than a musical episode. But Legends would be on my list, because I know I feel like you might be like, Craig, you didn't add Legends after we just spoke about how amazing Legends is. And you know, it's Legends is great except for that first season. I despise the first season of Legends. It's really cringy in the first season. It's with Hawk Girl and Hawk Man. and they struggle to find their ground for me in the first season. If it wasn't for that, it would be on my list. Because after that, once they ditch that shit and they move on from whatever crap, like saving the future or whatever crap they were doing, it gets so much better. When they're fixing time and it's more like White Canary is the leader, and they go, like season two onwards of Legends, they just go for it. They throw everything aside and they say, like, we're going to go ham and we're going to have stupid shit and we're going to have good representation. We're going to give Sarah Lance a girlfriend, and it's just magnifique. Like, so if we could skip past that first season, it would be on the list. But like I say, Gotham and that would be on my list, but I just love the Arrowverse so much that it's hard to not put them on the list.
Yeah, absolutely agreeing. I'm gonna say Gotham is definitely my number one. Second, the thing is, like, I think Pennyworth could actually make it into my top three just by 60s London British people. Alfred's backstory. But the thing is, I also have general theme for gang crime stories, kind of ish. Yep. And that's a bit how it feels like when you take the whole DC part away. But I do put Arrow in the second place, though, because Arrow was the first series that I got into, and that holds a lot of memories for me. And just, I need to, like, because the thing is, when I get back into it, I'm definitely going to do a rewatch before I start watching the latest.
Ooh, that'd be
seasons, because I think there's just so much that I need to re-go through. And as much as I also love Flash, because Barry Allen, but unfortunately Barry Allen and Iris sometimes give me a headache, so that's why they are not in my top three. It's kind of like Pennyworth could be there. I kind of put Titan on the third place for now. I haven't seen Supergirl. And the thing with Legends is like, I love Legends. I love White Canary. It's like, I think it's too much. There's too much going on for me to be like, because some episodes I'm really invested, and then others I'm just like, what's going on? Sometimes in this show. This is my top three for now. I'm just thinking, is there any other TV show? No, I think that's it. Because Gotham is literally, like, Gotham has
I'm not surprised if you having Gotham as your...
Yeah, it's just, that TV show, yeah. Check out the Gotham episode.
We've had good times of cons as well, of meeting all our... If you'd caught us a few years ago when we were hitting the con scene and meeting all these, when we were obsessed with Gotham and Arrowverse, we have so many good. If you scroll through our Instagrams, I'm sure you'll find some great, like, cosplay photos and, like, photos of us meeting, like, all our sort of favorite guests. So I feel like that's why, like, a lot of these shows are close to our heart as well, because we, you know, we had a lot of good times from doing this stuff. Like, you know, me and Lola, we've got that great photo with Sarah Lance. It's like that photo of us just squeezing her in the middle and
so sweet. Yeah,
and I mean, that was peak. Like, that's why a lot of these shows, I feel like, hit us, like, even like, yeah, they just hit us differently because they were all such a special part of our lives, and we got into the fandoms, and it was such a I would love to go back to that time. Not that I'm not, I guess I've not changed that, like, but it was such a different time when, like, yeah, we would just have so much love for them in our own way. That's why they're all close to our hearts. It's hard to choose.
Yeah, absolutely agreeing with what you said. So we're wrapping the section up with coming to your thoughts on Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is, tell me more what your thoughts on episode 3 and 4 are.
I feel like I got to try to not go on too many tangents here, but if we're, we'll start with episode 3, obviously. But yeah, wow. Wow. I don't really know what else. Like, we thought episode 1 and 2 were like, you know, wow, this is like, hell yeah. But man, 3 and 4 just really went and kicked us, like, where we were down. You know, they were like, oh, you thought those two were good? Yeah, get ready for these two. Bam. And yeah, episode 3, I mean, first off, Zemo, how can you, like, what a absolute delight. Like, I know he's a villain, but my God, he should never, who put him in prison? Let him back out. That's what I say. Put him back on the streets. Like, he was so, like, I was expecting him to be good because, like I say, Zemo is one of the top villains, I think. We all loved him in Civil War, like, because he had a flair to him. But man, like, yeah, I did not expect him to be this good. Like, we knew he was coming as well, which is, again, that funny thing I've spoken about before, where, like, even when we know it's coming, they somehow still surprised us by having him. You know, we'd seen the mask and we'd seen all this stuff, and I sort of thought, oh, is he going to be the main villain for the series, you know? But he was more than that. Like, I don't know what you'd call him. Like, he's not really a villain in this series. I don't know. Yeah, but I'd be excited to hear what you say about that, because you always seem to defend the villains. But he was a villain, but not really. Like, we got to see this side of him, you know, that he was this, like, you know, rich man in from Sokovia, and he had a butler, and he, you know, he has this, like, flair to him, and, you know, he's almost, like, respected. And I mean, obviously in episode 3 we got the little Zemo dance as well, which, oh, that little boogie he does, and it's just I can't stop talking about Zemo. Like, he's amazing. But as for the rest of the episode, I liked that we got a sort of darker side of the Marvel world as well, with Madripoor, that, like, cool little criminal town. I think that was cool. Like, it was nice to see that, again, like, it's nice that they're actually visiting these places now, because I feel like without these TV shows, they would have been kept quiet, but it's kind of cool to think there is a criminal empire out there. I like that Sharon was also very badass in episode 3, and I like that she kind of addresses the fact that she, like, stole the gear for them, and she's like, and yet, like, you left me on my own, like, because it's true, like, we, you know, when she said that, I was like, oh yeah, like, I've never thought about her outside of Civil War. And it's a really good, like, way of making you kind of go, man, like, what an asshole. Like, what an asshole we all were. We all kind of, like, yeah, we were busy with other shit, but, like, she did break the law for them, and then they just, no one ever, like, said, like, fixed her, or, like, you know, went and said, hey, like, she was helping us. So I really like that. And then to top it off, I think the surprise from having AO from Black Panther as well, that was, again, it's something they kept secret. I'm so glad they did, because I didn't see that coming. You know, when he picked up the little beat, I was like, oh, what's that? And then, you know, you just see her there with the Wakandan music playing. It's like, holy shit. Like, you know, like, what a way to end that episode. So, yeah, before we move on to episode 4, we'll catch up. What do you have to say about any of that?
So I remember watching episode 3, and afterwards I felt like I had seen a DC TV show, because I was like, Madripoor is just incredible. Like, what the hell? Like, it almost felt like going into an episode of Cyberpunk, the game. And
yeah,
it's,
I love,
just
the
fact that everyone just turned into a bounty hunter all of a sudden and all that kind of stuff. I was like, whoa, really dark.
Hell yeah.
I did not see that coming, because I was, especially with the first two episodes, like, episode 3 really kicks you into, like, the even darker layer of what's going on. So I was just... big fan here of Daniel Brühl as Zemo, because it's just, oh man, Zemo is just great. And as Marvel pulls it at the moment, what I love is that they just bring back characters that we haven't seen for a while, but they actually give them a bigger story and bigger plot in the sense, and especially with Sharon, I think that's so great. And it's her, Zemo, Sam, and Bucky together in that room, and it's just like they are almost feeling like all rogue characters, even Sam, like, and it's, that's what I really love, because it's like, it's so great that they kind of, like, take the turn on, like, you know, the away from this whole, like, this is the hero, no, this is, like, the kind of, like, sideline situations of, like, sometimes you need to do this to get that, which is what Bucky did when they broke Zemo out. And I think what's so clever about Zemo is he is super smart, super charismatic, but at the same time, we have a situation, for example, like the scene with Bucky, where he's presenting him basically as a tribute to what's the name again? The person that got shot.
Yes,
Selby. Selby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know the one you're on about. Yeah.
And that's what makes him such a great. It's almost hard to say he's a villain because he's also that character that has his principles and goes after them, and you can agree with them or you can't. And because like for me, villain is always like, you know, villain hero is almost like they are the good guy, they are the bad guy kind of situation. And I think especially with Falcon and Winter Soldier, what they do is like they throw us in between these sides of like, so who's the bad guy, who's the good guy kind of situation, rather than like classifying someone as simply villain. Obviously, there's a lot that Simo has done, and like not in a good way. That's obvious, but I think it's that's what's very clever about the TV show. It's just it throws you onto different sides and aspects and moral codes and stuff, and that's what I really love seeing and what makes Zemo an absolute bastard at the end of the day, because he's super clever, he's super smart, he knows how to pull the strings, he knows how to have his leverage and stuff, and then he's still like, you know, he's still shooting that professor and then things like that. So
he says some really interesting, he has some really good lines as well, like throughout the series. I'm trying to think if it was episode 3 or 4 that he says about he's comparing superheroes to supremacists. And he's saying like these people that take the serum are like no different, you know, that how like, you know, the making of the serum is no different and things like that. And it's lines like that that just make him so interesting, because like he is this kind of like you do almost kind of, you start to see superheroes from a different point of view. And I mean that's the whole point of kind of why he's this perfect character. I mean, maybe that is why he fits so well into this show where they are going rogue, like you said, and that, because it's like he is kind of pointing out to you that like, you know, all of, you know, you're seeing the world as good and evil, but really like who's to say, you know, the difference. And I think things like that's why he just fits that world so perfectly at the moment. And I think some of the lines he says and some of the just little things he'll come out with, and he's always on like a different level. But then, like say, he does shoot someone point blank and you're like, ah, like I was feeling good for you. And then, and then you did that and now you're making it a little hard. that gets you put in prison, buddy. Like, so yeah, he's definitely this morally gray character that I'm glad that the MCU has kept around and has used again, because yeah, he suits that.
Yeah, let's move on to episode 4 and why you should apologize for saying that you like John Walker.
I'll get to that as well, because that is episode 4 really went and made my case last podcast a little harder. But again, we had some really great stuff in episode 4. We had freeing of Bucky's mind. I thought that scene where you got to see him in Wakanda and she proved that like his brainwashing wasn't working anymore, that was really beautiful. I'm so glad we got to see that. We got to see stuff like Falcon. We got to see a good scene where he proved he deserved to be the next Cap by, you know, when he's talking to the leader of the Flag Smashers and he's like being really he's not doing it aggressively, you know, he's perfectly, he's speaking to them as a human being. And I think that is a perfect example of why he's up there. It's why Cap chose him, you know, because he's so much, that is a Cap thing to do, to not see them as the enemy and see them as which then leads to the annoying man that John Walker is kicking down the door and ruining that. Which, yeah, he really went wild last episode. you know, he burst in and ruined that. He got his ass handed to him, right? The Dora Milaje proved the Dora Milaje this episode as well were incredible. You know, they kind of, I view them as like, they kind of reminded us that they're putting America back in its place. If we're talking about like how its current sort of themes and that, they were almost there to kind of remind America, both to John Walker and also to like Sam and Bucky and that, that hey, like we see what you're doing and you need to quit it. You know, I mean, John Walker got his ass handed to him, you know, they kicked his ass and then they took Bucky's arm off, you know. And I've seen a few people react to that stuff, which is funny, and it's really funny. People are acting like, oh, they don't trust Bucky and all this stuff, but it's like, I think it's more that the Dora Milaje are there to say like, hey, like you are literally breaking the rules here for your own good. like quit it. Like, you know, like we've helped you, we've freed your mind and that, like, and you're now fighting us, like, because of, you know, your own selfishness in a way, you know. And I think, and that's kind of what they did with him as well. You know, they're ready to take the shield back because the shield technically belongs to them. It's made out of vibranium, so it's their shield. And you know, I think they're a great analogy for looking at like how America's been over the last few sort of months. You know, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to stir the pot too much, but you know, with the Capitol riots and that and things like that, like we're almost that. We're the outside sort of view looking at them going, hey, like, quit your shit. You know, we see it, you know, quit it. Like, what did you think you were going to do? Like, but anyway, that's a whole nother. But I love these connections to Wakanda as well, because I think, like, same with Madripoor, it feels like a very comic world now. Like, it feels like, you know, the fact they can come in and, like, the fact we have places like Madripoor, it's like, it feels like we're in a comic, you know, it feels like I'm reading, you know, it feels real. But, yeah, then we get to John Walker and his little mistake, I'll call it. But, you know, I was trying my best to defend him the last few seasons. Then I saw him take the serum, like, when he saw the opportunity. I was like, John, why would you do this, buddy? Like, please don't tell me you're going to take it. And then, obviously, he took it. And I said, no, John. Like, and obviously, with Hoskins' death, and that's, I'm sad that Hoskins died. I kind of hope he's not dead, because it feels like he was going to be a more interesting character to have alongside John. But I'm assuming he is dead, because that's what made him snap. And obviously, yeah, seeing him snap was kind of crazy, because we all knew again that it was coming in some way. But watching him, I mean, like I said, there's so much I could say on that one scene when he beats, you know, a person with a shield, with the shield. And, you know, the blood on the shield speaks, I think, enough volumes, you know, like the way it's caught on phones. And that whole scene is just, it really wraps the episode up in a way that I think made a lot of us be like, oh no, you know, and that's a polite way of saying it. But yeah, I think I owe a public apology for defending John Walker. And that, you know, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, and he didn't seem like, I don't think he seemed like an inherently bad guy. Like, he was cocky, yes, and maybe an asshole, but I think he just wanted to be the symbol, like, for the people, you know, right? Like it does sound like I'm a politician who knows they've screwed up and I'm like trying to still die on my hill here, but like, I think it was the government that threw him into this, right? And they wanted him to be Cap, and they're like, oh, you need to be the next Cap. And obviously, you know, he was never going to be. He was powerless, you know, he had no powers, he had no authority, like, he was just supposed to be a symbol. And so, yeah, when he went as far as he did, I think he obviously, you know, that's why he did it, you know. It's because for the first time he was like, I have the power, you know, I'm making the calls now. And I mean, yeah, that's a terrifying thought. You know, how far will he go is what we're looking to see in these next two episodes, you know. And yeah, I apologize for defending the brutal murderer.
So, I'm curious to see what episode 5 and 6 bring.
Yeah.
I think 3 and 4 are a strong defender of, like, probably my favorite episodes, because of the conflict and what's happened there. Because the thing is, like, with Carly Morgenthau, I think she's a cool character, definitely.
Yeah.
The only thing where I think she also, like, because is it episode 4 where she blows up the house, or is that episode 3?
I think it's the end of 3. But so it's, yeah, like, right, last thing you see.
So the thing is, like, my only thought when, like, the very bad thing at the end of episode 4 happened is because she was in shock. Everyone was in shock, and I, yeah, totally get that. But the thing is also, with everything she has done before, she was already crossing lines in a sense of, like, you know, you're fighting for a certain cause, but you're also leaving a lot of violence and damage behind.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you leave a lot of violence and damage behind, essentially people will react to that, whether it's John Walker or someone else. Yeah, because we also don't know who the power broker is at that point. So maybe we're going to see a bit more of Callum Morgenthau in that sense. I'm still missing a bit of, like, you know, give me that backstory to really feel empathy for her, you know,
Yeah,
like.
it's weird with that. They don't seem to be like fleshing her out a great deal, like, which is weird. I don't know what
Yeah.
to do.
I mean, the thing is, we don't know who the broker is yet, so it might be connected to that or something. But I think like they could have done a bit more of a better job on the backstory of Carly Morgenthau, because I need more than, you know, the ceremony, the funeral that we had seen, or I need more than I want everything to be back, like, or I want things to change for the I need more of that to really go like, yeah, I'm totally on board with you. Like, I see her motives and I get it, but it's not like if something would happen to her, I wouldn't care in that sense of like, oh yeah, I've been so invested into your character over the season so far, which I'm not really, because I think she's a cool character, but I'm missing a bit of the storytelling in that sense. And
Almost like the opposite of Zemo. Like, Zemo we care about,
yeah.
and like, he has a more reason, and then she's kind of like she wants to make the world the same, but we don't understand why. Like, or like we do, but it's like we haven't got enough of a reasoning.
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes you get these situations where she talks to her people and stuff, but it's always more, I don't know, the writing is almost centered on the aspect of the people and how the people stand up for her, you know? Like, it's not
Yeah.
really like, because I'm doing this, because I'm doing that, this is why you can see my point or should follow me or whatever. Because I think it's the scene where, before they get the serums, it's when the guy talks to her and says like, you know, you would be a great Captain America, blah blah blah, and stuff like that, and it's
Yeah.
just like, yeah, but tell me why.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, give me that backstory. And that's a bit of a lucky situation at the moment for me, which I think is a bit of a pity, but maybe we'll get some more in the last. I'm a bit worried about, like, you know, we only got two episodes left and how they're gonna pull
Yeah.
that off, so we're gonna see about that. On the other hand, like, so episode 4, like, absolutely brilliant inclusion of Wakanda and how it deals into this whole like, you shouldn't do this, you
Yeah.
cross the line kind of stuff. This scene was amazingly filmed. Oh my God, I think it's one of my favorite scenes in the whole TV show so far, where they like fight with one another, and I think everyone who saw the scene with the arm was just like, what? Like,
Yeah.
you
They
just,
just
oh my God, like,
one
what?
tap took it off, like.
Yeah, so also Zemo in that whole episode is a living meme with like the tea, the sweets and stuff like that, and it's just very clever. I'm curious to see where we're gonna see him next. I hope Marvel is not pulling a, oh, we saw Zemo the last time for now or something like that, or like a snippet at the end or something, because that would be a pity of storytelling as well. Yeah, and then I'm a bit annoyed that Hoskins got killed, in the sense of like, it's again this thing of like, we had a cool side character in a sense,
Yeah,
and like
it's yeah.
taking it away too soon. But obviously, I get why they needed that trigger point. But then at the same time, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, why does it have to be people like Hoskins that get to take the shot for this? I think that's a
Yeah.
bit of a pity.
I feel he was a good, like, he was nice to have alongside John because it was kind of almost humanizing the parts of John that were like a bit more like you could see when he was talking to Hoskins, he was like, Hoskins is trying to help him, and trying to be like, yeah, like you can do this, or like, we'll get through this. And but so like, yeah, it could have been, they could just injured him. I feel like they didn't need to kill him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
But
yeah.
then, yeah, it obviously it makes sense. He had to be the trigger, but yeah, it would have been nice to maybe, I don't know, yeah, keep him around. Or but then I guess if they're having John go that far, then obviously there's probably no
Yeah, it
there's
in a
no way to
sense, the
save
only
him.
other person I could think of would have been like, I guess his girlfriend that we see at the very beginning, that could
Yeah.
have been a similar trigger in that sense. But yeah, obviously, when they are on a mission, his girlfriend is not really around and stuff. And I'm curious to see now where this goes, in a sense of like, because I can almost see that, you know, that America's kind of like almost defending him or something like that,
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
in a sense of like, you know, he was just trying to do whatever he was doing.
Yeah, he was stopping the enemy or something like that.
Yeah, in a sense like that, I can see that this is going to happen. So I'm really curious to see how this kicks off, because so many people filmed it, and like so many, like this is going viral, even in a superhero world. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that kicks off. And I'm essentially curious to see how, like, where it leads us too, because like, you know, with WandaVision it was this thing of like, okay, who's the person that traps her there, what's happening here, where's this going at the end, whereas with this is kind of like, okay, so we have all this political conflict, revolutionary mess and stuff, what's gonna happen, like, because at the beginning it was almost like, okay, are we gonna see Falcon picking up the shield essentially, or like, is this gonna be a Black Captain America situation? And now it's almost like, I feel like we're literally just on the edge of a revolution that's coming, with protests and stuff. And I don't know how they're going to fix that in 2 episodes. So I'm curious to see where that leads.
Yeah, it's funny how it feels like we're in another case of like, they've got like 2 episodes left. How are they wrapping this all up? You know, it does feels like they keep ending up in that like same boat. But I mean, they did enough for WandaVision, so I feel like we're definitely heading down a path of like, I hope we get some sort of look into the side of it, like affecting like the phone videos. I'd like to see what you said about like the idea of like everyone saw it, so like how America going to react to it, is it going to cause chaos, is it, it'd be good to see that stuff. But yeah, I honestly don't know how it's going to end, which I guess is almost nicer, right? Like I feel like that's what's enjoyable about these series, is even though we knew what was coming in a way, we don't know how they're ending, and even though that might leave us feeling a bit unsatisfied maybe, but there's a chance that, you know, it ends with something like even more crazier than we've already got. There's something about it, I don't know what it is. Like I know they got a lot to unwrap, but I'm almost like, I guess I'm excited to see how they deal with it, which is what makes it enjoyable. I feel like we've got to see Falcon taking the shield. That's gotta be up there. But how, what, like in what context maybe, I don't know. Maybe I always had the idea that I'm hoping we're going to see like a new suit, and like he's going to be all suited up in his own gear with the shield, but I honestly don't know now. It's yeah, I don't know, will they disband the shield? I don't know, like who knows how they're gonna, I honestly don't know.
There's a lot of questions.
There's a lot of like, it pokes so many. Yeah, I'm so curious. I definitely think we're getting some sort of villain. I don't want to say villain team, but I definitely think we're not going to see, I hope we're not going to see the last of John Walker as this super serumed Cap. I feel like he's going to be kept around. I'm thinking Zemo maybe is going to also be in the same boat. Like, I feel like they're going to have the Thunderbolts similar sort of, where they have this team of kind of villains that, you know, that they are villains, but they're gonna do like, yeah, they're gonna be the rogue team. You know, they're gonna trial out that sort of stuff, and I do hope so, because I think, yeah, Wyatt Russell as John Walker has been really great, and obviously Zemo, everyone would love to see more of. I mean, imagine having those two on a team alone feels like it would be. Although I'm not sure. Again, I don't know. Would Zemo want to work with a man who's taking the serum? I don't know. That's a whole nother tangent. But we got the Power Broker twist is interesting as well, because a lot of the discussions around that are on Sharon being the Power Broker, which is very interesting, because again, that would be a really good twist, I think, if she was like, because again, it'd be that idea that she was left on her own, so of course she kind of went and amassed this empire, and again, maybe that could be, she could be working for them as well. I don't know, there's a lot of interesting stuff left.
Yeah, it was a thought of mine as well. Like, even though I'm trying to stay away from theories this time, I was like, I think Sharon might be a bigger role than we might see at the moment, because I think it's the situation where she gets into the car or something.
Yeah.
After she met the boys, I believe. And then she says something of like, or she has someone on the phone or something like, or something like that. And I was like, you're up to something.
Yeah.
The way she was just, in a sense, relaxed or something, like she definitely knows stuff, absolutely. I hope that the Power Broker reveals also something that is going to tackle us off the way we were tackled off when we got the recast of Pietro, basically.
Yeah.
So I hope that's going to be a cool situation in that sense. Yeah, Hannah couldn't be here with us today, so I'm just going to blend in her thoughts and on Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, she's probably going to judge me for defending a murderer. So I've apologized, okay? I'm sorry. But I didn't think he was going to do that.
Hi, Gigi and Saji listeners. I'm so sorry I'm not on the episode today. And I hope you're all good, and I hope you're enjoying the episode. Despite my absence, I hope you're still listening and enjoying it. But don't worry, I'm still going to be spilling some hot Marvel tea, and I'm hopefully going to be back in a couple of episodes' time. So that's very exciting. Basically, whenever Lola's like, gone back in for Marvel, I'm like, hey. But I'm still going to be spilling the tea. I'm going to be talking about episodes 3 and 4 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I just want to like start off by saying, well, number one, I think this series is just getting wilder and more exciting, and I am so here for it. It's just, honestly, I feel like it's hitting all the right marks, and I am, honestly, it's just really, really exciting. And I really love, actually, that Marvel do this a lot, is that they bring back characters from different films and different like TV series and stuff, because it makes it feel like it's an actual world, and it's all the same thing, and I think that's just brilliant. I love that they do that. Like, I don't, like, for me as an actor, if I work with somebody and like add them on Facebook, they probably have about 10-12 mutual friends, and I'm like, how do you know all these people? And it's just because we've all worked on different shows and stuff together, or we've done training together, and that is how I imagine, excuse me, the what it's like to be an Avenger, in terms of, like, you know, if I was, I don't know, Scarlet Witch, I would, you know, probably add like Clint Barton on Facebook, but we've also got mutual friends of like Natasha, and like, you know, maybe we somehow know Agatha through different means and stuff like that. It's just, I think it's really cool. Like, so I love that they brought like in like Sharon and like Zemo, and it's just really cool. And also like Ayo and the Dora Milaje, I thought that was just sick. I thought that was brilliant. That was so clever, and just I love that. So it's really, really exciting for me. I just don't know where to begin. There is so much to unpack. I love that they brought Sharon in. Oh, really, really love that. I thought she was great. I also just loved how she was holding her own. Like, they were just all in the lab, like, interviewing the guy, interviewing, like, the scientist. And she's just, like, absolutely smashing it outside, like, all by herself, taking on, like, several groups of men. I was like, bravo, Sharon, bravo. So I'm really, really excited to see more of Sharon. I just hope as well, I think I might have mentioned this before, but I really hope that she just doesn't become a love interest, because it was already a bit weird that she got with Steve, who's now technically her uncle, and like, if she gets with like Sam or Bucky, oh my god, I forgot his name then, Sam or Bucky, it's just going to be weird. It's like, well, now you've got with one of your uncle's friends. Like, this is just too much. So weird. But yeah, I'm really glad Emily Van Champ is back. That's really cool. So I was really happy to see her. And like Ayo, and the Dora Milaje, that was sick. From the like second we saw her, I was just like, oh my god, this is amazing. I was like, I'm so ready, so here for this. I was like, oh damn, because it like really does make so much sense that obviously they would be after Zemo. They like, he killed the King of Wakanda, like, of course they would be like. And obviously, like, seeing the beginning bit with like Bucky realizing that he isn't controlled by the trigger words anymore in Wakanda, oh man, that scene, beautifully acted. It was honestly stunning. Yeah, brilliant. Don't worry, I'm gonna talk about Zemo. He's just getting more and more iconic as we see him. He's so exciting to watch and entertaining. Like, Daniel Brühl is just awesome. Like, I like he's got this amazing coat and his dancing, and like, he just does really random shit. He's such a scene stealer, and I'm just obsessed. I think he's great. Like the scene where he was talking about the where Sam, Bucky were talking about Mama Donya passing away, and I was so distracted because Daniel Brühl was just like, Zemo was just coming in with like a plate of cookies, like the mom friend. Absolutely iconic. I have to say, I found it really intense when they were like, when Bucky had to be a Winter Soldier again. Like, I just, like, that was really, really intense. Really quite scary. And yeah, really, really intense. And then obviously Sam had to be Smiling Tiger, which made me laugh a lot. Also, I can't remember her name, but when she was like, "Row!" Very funny. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen next, because obviously we found out about the Super Soldier Serum. So it'd be interesting to see where that goes. I think it's all been destroyed now, from what I understood, which is probably for the best. And yeah, so I think I'm kind of reaching on episode 4 now. John Walker? I don't even know where to begin. He's the biggest asshole I've ever seen. Like, he literally has destroyed absolutely everything Steve stood for. Like, just him with the shield. And the fact that he killed the guy who was literally, like, early on, like, I looked up to Captain America. Like, I thought he was amazing. He did all this stuff. And I'm just like, you, dude, are an asshole. Like, I cannot believe you've done this. And do you know what really scares me and what makes me worried is that, and I think if they did do it, it would be absolutely phenomenal, because obviously it's such a current issue right now, is that how, like with white people, like, killing other people and stuff like that, it's very much like, oh, they just had a bad day, or, oh, well, you know, it was probably for the best, or, you know, he's a recovering sex addict, or, do you really want to ruin his future? Like, he's Captain America. Like, if they do this, it will really annoy me, but I also can appreciate the point they're trying to make, and I think it would be genius, but we'll have to see about that. Because, like, how do you get away with that? And the image of the blood on the shield was just, like, so horrible, but kind of beautiful at the same time. Like, just that image was, I think, very, very clever. I think he definitely took the super serum, 100%, the super soldier serum. Sorry. Also, in my notes, it looks like I've written syrup. So, the super soldier syrup coming to a grocery store near you. I should brand this. I think it'd be great. yeah, I think he definitely took it, because I just think his ego would never be able to take that he couldn't beat them by himself. Like, he needs to one-up people, like, you know, and I think it says a lot that, like, he wouldn't give Sam, like, 10 minutes just to talk to Carly like a human. Like, he couldn't give him the whole time. He just was like, screw this, I'm going in. As if, number one, as if Sam couldn't take care of himself. But number two, like, just being an absolute arsehole about it. Like, you know, and Anthony Mackie in that scene with Carly, I don't know her name, I'm very sorry, but Sam and Carly in that scene was just stunning. I, like, for me, that was just how Steve would have done it, and but in Sam's own way, and I just thought was stunning. Like, what a beautiful scene. It was really humanizing and beautiful, and I just really loved it. And there's been a lot of mirroring of that scene when he's like, oh, she's just a kid, to when Steve says that about Wanda. And I thought that was really beautiful, and it was like a really wonderful, like, nod parallel, and I thought that was great. I loved the Dora Milaje coming in and kicking John Walker's ass. That was literally one of the best parts of the episode. I was like, screw you. You literally deserve that so much. I'm sorry. I realize I've like gone, I'm like backtracking through this weird journey of this episode, but keep up. I'm sure you can. that was just really satisfying for him to just be taking down a peg or two, because I think with that shield, he's just, his like head has exploded. And I also think actually, because I'm sure John Walker and Lamar Hoskins are having a chat about the super soldier serum, and I'm sure he says something about, yeah, but you got the medals, and he was for Afghanistan, and he was like, yeah, but if they knew the truth. So I feel like there might be something revealed there, that maybe he didn't deserve the medals, or maybe something went down that wasn't like above board, if that makes sense. Like, it was, you know, something like, maybe he didn't, maybe he's not the hero that he allegedly led everyone to believe. So that would be really interesting if that came out. And yeah, just the Dora Milaje, they're just so cool, and they're so great at fighting, and they're just amazing. Like, I really hope we see more of them. That would just be really, really cool. And Ayo as well. Ayo, she's great. She's phenomenal. Absolutely iconic. Love her. Zemo. He's just getting more and more funny and ridiculous. Like, in that whole fight, he just took a glass of whiskey and just left. I was like, you, sir, are a genius. And just disappeared. I was like, iconic. Absolutely iconic. Yes. What will happen in the next few episodes? I honestly have no idea. I think potentially, as I said earlier, that they might try and brush John Walker's, like, because obviously everyone saw it, everyone has the footage, because people would film Captain America, like, doing stuff like that. Excuse me, like, that sort of stuff's happened, so I completely believe that. So it would be interesting to see how the footage of that and people seeing that, how they react to it and what happens next, which I'm really excited about. And yeah, like, I don't think we've seen the last of Sharon. I think she might be one to watch. I wonder if she's actually the power broker. Like, somebody said to me about a really cool theory about her being the power broker, so I'd be intrigued to see if that comes into fruition. And like, I feel like I might have made this up, but I feel like maybe I dreamt it, who knows. But I feel like I saw her wearing one of those masks, so unless she's like undercover, I just don't know. I don't know. Interesting. It's really hard to see what would happen next, but I'm excited to find out. I'm also really excited to hear Craig's formal apology about his love of John Walker, aka new Captain America, because I think we all deserve it. I think we all deserve it. We all deserve the bullshit being acknowledged and rectifying. Amazing. But yeah, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed my my hot take, and hopefully we'll be on the next episode, the next Marvel Magic episode, which I'm very excited about. And stay tuned for more. Enjoy the rest of the episode, and I'll see you soon. No, you'll hear me soon. I won't see you, but you'll hear me soon. You know what I mean. But anyway, have a nice day. Bye.
Usually we would go to the total truth and stuff, but since we talked about TV shows today, I want to bring something up that I want to make people aware of. So around the DC TV shows, with Katie Lotz and other beautiful women, there is the so-called She-Thority Collective.
Yes.
And I'm just going to read out what's on their website. She-Thority is an online global collective that provides a positive space for women. There's a star, little star icon, cis women, trans women, genderqueer women, and non-binary people who are significantly female identifying. to discuss and conquer the unique challenges of the female experience in today's world through sharing journeys, challenges, triumphs, and inspiration. We are building a community that challenges ourselves, empowers others, and reclaims the female experience. Our goal is to create a space where we, as women, can stand up with one another and assume our individual authority in ways both big and small. We aspire to collaborate with you to create an empowering community where dialogue, tips, and support are readily available and easily shared. The power of the pack is the wolf, and the power of the wolf is the pack. Welcome to the pack, sister. So,
hell yeah.
That's something that you guys should definitely check out. I've been doing a presentation on this back at my creative school where it was just starting. It's a super wonderful community. It's a super amazing space. So go check that out. There's a hashtag called Meet She Authority. So go into that and check that out. And obviously support women on that note.
Oh, yeah. Right. You should also check out, while we're on that topic, Supergirl and Chris Wood. I forget his character's name. But Melissa and Chris's have their own similar sort of vibe. They have I Don't Mind, which is a great mental health-like charity. That's another really great one to check out, because it's just a lot about trying to break the stigma of mental health. And the whole thing is that, like, I don't mind talking about it. And it's been a big thing of, like, when I found out that while watching it, that was a big, like, inspiration for me over, like, a lot of when I was struggling. And they post some really great stuff that can keep you feeling positive, and it helps, you know. They just kind of, they don't, like, beat around the bush about it. Like, they don't treat you like, you know, they don't make it feel like, you know, they just talk about it normally, which is like the most important thing. And yeah, I got the little logo tattooed on me because it meant so much to me when I, so yeah, it's worth checking that out as well, in the same sort of boat. Hell yeah, positive vibes today.
Yes.
Go thank women, you so go much. Mental health.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing this, because obviously mental health is absolutely a valid factor and so important in this society today more than ever. So yeah, go check these two charities
women,
out for us.
Or like, health. Go women, go mental health. Woo!
You heard the man. So yeah, this has been a blast. Even though we don't have Hannah here today. Hannah's going to listen to this and like, oh God, I'm never going to leave these two alone again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've learned one thing, that I shouldn't be left alone with Lola. Yeah. Well, yeah, Lola shouldn't be left alone with me. I don't know. One of the two causes chaotic energy.
You hear that creak in the background? It's my wardrobe. amazing. Right, listeners, wherever you are in the world right now, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you have any questions or concerns or raises towards Marvel, or anything that you want to share with us about the Marvel magic, or if you want Craig to apologize even better for what? John Walker.
What is my apology? Good enough, God.
You know what a good apology would be? Giving me the Guardians of the Galaxy jump.
Of course. Should have seen that one coming. I walked into that one. Honestly, I get it. I get his vibe now. Maybe I get it. I get why you get it, fine. Some people just demand so much when you already give. And also, why don't we play another fun game and play guess which DC star is probably in Lola's freaking basement right now.
That was not how you said basement. Like, last time it was my wardrobe. Now it's been a basement. Like,
I, to be honest, I thought it was a basement. I can't remember. I always put, yeah, wardrobe makes more sense. A basement. Oh, well, she has a DC basement then. Okay, she has a Marvel wardrobe and a DC basement. Guess who's in the DC basement? Probably the main guy from Pennyworth. I've ruined the surprise.
I can't. This TV show, this podcast. Oh my God. Okay. Right.
TV stars are in Lola's basement.
Please ask this question in the live that is going to happen on Instagram. Okay. Right, listeners, wherever you are in the world right now, I hope you have a wonderful day, night, limbo situation. If you don't know
day, night.
What time of the day it is.
Yep.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next time on the GG and Saji podcast. Bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
If you can't get enough of us, don't you worry, we got social media for you to contact us, to talk with us, to have questions, to raise questions, and to raise your voice towards us. Gigi, which is me, you can find as Elsie Hamilton Arts on Instagram, as well as literally Elsie Hamilton all around the internet. Go to our site revolutionseries.com and you can also find extended social media contacts when it comes to Ref Series. Saji, which is known as Abel, you can find on social media on Instagram under a certain name. We also drop the links in the description. Have fun, contact us, and have a good day.